Amateur Radio Newsline report number 2469 with the release date of Friday, February 21st, 2025. To follow in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The following is a QST. The UK regulator considers spectrum sharing on the 6 gigahertz band. Argentina gets ready to host that nation's first international gathering of YLs. And hams await production on a film about the silent key Art Bell, who was once the king of late-night radio in the U.S. All this and more as Amateur Radio Newsline report number 2469 comes your way right now.
From around the world, this is Newsline, Amateur Radio's first independent on-the-air news and bulletin service. Now, reporting from Wadsworth, Ohio, here's Stephen Kinford, N8WB.
We begin this week with a story about spectrum sharing. The concept is nothing new for radio amateurs, but now in the UK, the regulator is proposing that for the first time, spectrum sharing should be done between two different technologies. We have the details from Jeremy Boot, G4NJH.
With traffic increasing in the UK for the usage of both Wi-Fi and mobile services, Ofcom is exploring ways for both technologies to share the upper part of the 6 GHz band. Frequencies between 6.425 and 7.125 gigahertz. The regulator is hoping that its implementation will benefit mobile networks, especially in crowded areas, and at the same time provide support for advanced Wi-Fi services. The proposed sharing would require both services to explore ways of integrating shared usage, perhaps by developing a sensing capability in which one could detect the other's presence on a frequency. In a statement, Ofcom said the change would provide a basis for the future, eventually supporting virtual and augmented reality as well as AI. Meanwhile, Ofcom said that it hopes to see the lower part of the 6 GHz band, frequencies between 5.925 and 6.425, used for higher power Wi-Fi outdoors, whose frequencies at present only are allocated for low power indoor use. This is Jeremy Boot, G4NJH.
Winter racing fans in Michigan's Upper Peninsula finally got what they waited 2 years for. Enough snow in the region for the return of a sled dog race that is a qualifier to the world-famous Iditarod. Hams weren't pulling sleds, but they were on the scene anyway, pulling down some big responsibilities to ensure participant safety. Here's Dave Parks, WB8ODF, with that story.
It's called the UP200, and its 228-mile snow-covered path through near-wilderness creek crossing and challenging terrain in northern Michigan brings out sled dogs, racing fans, and amateur radio operators. Significant snowfall this year also put two smaller concurrent races back in action, the Midnight Run and the Jack Pine. The races between the 13th and 17th of February challenged the four-footed athletes, the sledders' navigational skills, and some 30 radio amateurs responsible for keeping everyone as safe and as on track as they could. Radio communication was coordinated by Tom Perry, KE8TPT, and many of the hams were from the Hiawatha Amateur Radio Association. Tom told local media outlets that the success of the system drew heavily on having a robust link repeater system in the region. This allowed everyone to hear all the other radio operators. With cell phone access not being an option, that kept everyone, including the hams, in the race. The Iditarod, a major sporting event in Alaska, will be held next month in Anchorage. This is Dave Parks, WB8ODF.
It's a first for YLs in Argentina. The National Radio Society is hosting an international meetup of YLs. Graham Kemp, VK4BB, tells us about it.
The Argentine Radio Club is hosting its first international gathering of female radio amateurs and has extended the registration deadline until the 25th of February. The meeting is taking place from March 6th through to the 8th at the Scout Camp in Mar del Plata and is being held in recognition of International Women's Day, Saturday, March 8th. Marina, L-U-1-V-Y-L, who is on the National Society's Board of Directors, told Newsline that the talks and workshops will cover a variety of topics, including a discussion of why national radio societies play such a vital role in defending amateurs' use of the spectrum in each country. Radio Club YL Chile, CE4YLC, will share the story of how their club evolved and grew. A number of de-expeditioners have presentations planned so that they can share their adventures. Workshops will include an introduction to DX, practical ways to study CW, and construction of double bazooka dipoles and CW oscillators. There's good news for those who want to get on the air. Marina said there will be a station at the campsite. Spots are limited, and Marina said that after the closing date, no more participants can be accommodated. See the link in the text version of this week's newscast to complete a registration form. This is Graham Kemp, VK4BB.
The music world and the amateur radio family have been sharing grief over the death of a beloved member of both communities. We learn more about him from Paul Brown, WD9GCO.
Ian Kuhn, KI9W, lived and thrived in the world of sound. The sound of amateur radio, which filled his life with friends and outdoor adventures, and the musical sounds of American rock. Ian was an integral part of the Dave Matthews Band, the musicians who relied on his talents as a sound engineer and stage manager to bring polish to their performances, and they made him part of their family. Ian, who had pancreatic cancer, died on the 10th of February at his home in Illinois. His death was announced by the band on its website and by his amateur radio friends on Facebook. Though Ian found joy in using his professional talents to give the Dave Matthews Band and other music groups their concert-ready sound, he was just as immersed in amateur radio and the people he met on and off the air. Ian was an active member and a supporter of the 100 Watts and a Wire community that grew out of a podcast begun in 2015 by Christian Kudnick, K0STH. Christian told Newsline that the two became very close friends. Christian recalled when he and Ian called CQ from the famous arch in Christian's home city of St. Louis, Missouri, twice. Ian would often remark how lucky he was that he could tour with the band and find a way to operate portable from POTA parks near many of the concert venues. Christian told Newsline, quote, "He was a dear friend, and I'll always miss him," end quote. Ian was 53. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Paul Brown, WD9GCO.
When a friend becomes a silent key, some hams offer up a final call during their net if that operator was a regular check-in. When a ham has checked into many others' lives as a friend and mentor, however, sometimes the tribute calls for a long-lasting video. Jim Meachin, ZL2BHF, tells us about one such video.
The YouTube tribute by Nick Zidil2NEB to his friend Gerard Zidil2GVA is a video QSL card of sorts, the final courtesy for a contact that changed his life and brought him into the amateur radio community. Gerard, who was originally licensed in 1992 as PE1ONB, opened the door to ham radio for Nick and became his Elmer and later fellow operator on his POTA adventures. Gerard, who was an enthusiastic CW operator and a net control operator for the NZNet, died of cancer at age 59 in November of 2024. On the 1st of February, a celebration of his life was held in New Zealand. Nick's video, posted on YouTube a day later, is an appreciation on a personal level, a reflection on what friendship can mean, especially in a tight-knit community of radio operators. Nick urges hams to continue being communicators and always say what needs to be said, on and off the air. Upon viewing the video, amateurs around the world responded, touched by the words and images. One commentator wrote, quote, "When we TX, we send radio waves out into space that travel on forever. May his voice always be out there and remembered." End quote. To see the short video, follow the link in the text version of this week's newscast at arnewsline.org. This is Jim Meachin, ZL2BHF.
Time for you to identify your station. We are the Amateur Radio Newsline, heard on bulletin stations around the world, including the K2ADA 2-meter repeater in Ocala, Florida, on Friday and Saturday nights at 7 local time. Amateurs in South Africa will be taking a new look at RF pollution next month at a technical symposium hosted by the South African Radio League. Jason Daniels, VK2LAW, brings us that story.
In Germany, the National Amateur Radio Society, the DARC, has been keeping a watchful ear on radio interference, tracking the increase in noise generated over the years by residential and commercial electronics. The effort, known as Electrical Noise Area Management System, or ENAMS, focuses on frequencies between 66 kHz and 31 MHz and collects its information from more than 50 monitoring points around the country. Each of the ENAMS units is capable of storing as much as 5 years of collected data on a local disk drive without having the need for an internet connection. One of the senior engineers with ENAMS will be presenting a look at the initiative at the Centenary Technical Symposium of the South African Radio League when it takes place on the 22nd of March. The League has an increasing focus on RF pollution. SARL said that the presentation by Andreas Locke, Delta Golf 8 Alpha Lima, underscores that pollution of the RF spectrum is second only to concerns about climate change. This is Jason Daniels, VK2LAW.
If you love DXing and are under the age of 18, you're in luck at this spring's International DX Convention in California. Ralph Squillaci, KK6, ITB, explains.
The doors to the International DX Convention in Visalia, California are opening extra wide at the Visalia Conference Center, where young visitors up to the age of 18 are being given entrance for free. Youngsters will get access at no cost to the convention's forums and programs, as well as the exhibit hall. The 76th annual convention is sponsored by the Northern California DX Club and will be held from April 11th through to the 13th. The free registration does not include meals, the bus tour, or any raffle tickets. The deadline for anyone to pre-register online is April 3rd. Paying guests who are planning to attend but do not register in advance can expect a 10% increase in admission fee. More details can be found at dxconvention.com. This is Ralph Squillaci, KK6 ITB.
In the world of DX, members of the radio club Jean Bart, F6KMB, will be using the special call sign TM6C between the 24th of February and the 9th of March. This activation is in recognition of the traditional Dunkirk Carnival, QSL via F6KMB. The Liga Dominica de Radio Amateurs HI8LD will be using the call sign HI2LD from Isla Siona, iota number NA122, on the 27th of February at around 1300 UTC. They will be using SSB on 40, 20, and 10 meters. See QRZ.com for QSL details. On Rodriguez Island, iota number AF017, listen for a four-person team of operators from the Czech Republic using the call sign 3B9DJ. They will be on the air from the 24th of March through to the 5th of April. See QRZ.com for QSL details. A team of operators from Poland are active from Nilevelai, Sri Lanka, iota number AS003, till the 1st of March. They are using the call sign 4S7SPG using CWSSB, FT8, and RIDI on 80 through 10 meters. See QRZ.com for QSL details. We end this week's report with a word that a noted actor has reportedly been signed to play a well-known and much-loved late-night radio host, who was also an active ham before he became a silent key. What's in store? Ralph Squillaci, KK6ITB, tells us.
You might say that radio silence is what followed the death of Art Bell, the original host of a popular late-night paranormal radio talk show and a lifelong amateur radio operator. He held the call signs W6OBB in the U.S. and 4F1AB in the Philippines. Radio Silence, in this case, is the American TV film and production company that is working on a biopic about the high-profile talk show host who died in 2018. The starring role has reportedly been given to two-time Oscar nominee Paul Giamatti, who is known for roles in Cinderella Man and American Splendor, among numerous other films. Both the actor and the man he will portray enjoyed playing to a devoted audience. Art Bell's five-hour syndicated call-in radio show, Coast to Coast AM, attracted an estimated 10 million listeners. They tuned in regularly to hear stories of encounters with UFOs, visitors from other planets, or eerie experiences in the realm of the paranormal. According to a number of entertainment media outlets, Universal, Warner Brothers, and Amazon are among the entertainment companies vying for the rights to the film. It remains unclear who will ultimately end up having that coveted close encounter. This is Ralph Squillaci, KK6 ITB.
Have you sent in your amateur radio haiku to Newsline's Haiku Challenge yet? It's as easy as writing a QSL card. Set your thoughts down using traditional haiku format, three-line verse with five syllables in the first line, seven in the second, and five in the third. Submit your work on our website at arnewsline.org. Each week's winner gets a shout-out on our website where everyone can find the winning haiku. With thanks to the Amateur Radio Daily, Christian Kudnick, K0STH, David Bihar, K7DB, Dave Matthews Band website, Deadline, DXConvention.com, IARU Region 1, Marina, LU1, VYL, NZNET Newsletter, Ofcom, ShortwaveRadio.de, South African Radio League, Wireless Institute of Australia, WZMQ-TV, Yahoo Entertainment, YL Beam, and you, our listeners. That's all for the Amateur Radio Newsline. We remind our listeners that the Amateur Radio Newsline is an all-volunteer nonprofit organization that incurs expenses for its continued operation. If you wish to support us, please visit our website at arnewsline.org and know that we appreciate you all. We also remind our listeners that if you like our newscast, please leave us a five-star rating wherever you subscribe to us. For now, with Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT at the news desk in New York, and our news team worldwide, I'm Stephen Kinford, N8WB in Wadsworth, Ohio, saying 73. As always, we thank you for listening. Amateur Radio Newsline is copyright 2025. All rights reserved.